Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said earlier, this is the portion of this epistle to the Colossians where the Apostle Paul speaks about the friends that he had in ministry, the faithful brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ who were faithful and helpful to him in his ministry. Did you notice that he said in verse 11 that all of these have proved to be a comfort to him? They brought him great comfort in serving with him in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that is necessary in the work of the church, that we are as a body. We have been called not to be independent people doing our own thing, but to walk in conjunction with one another as a body, using our gifts and our abilities to minister to each other. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is clear on that, that the Lord has given to each one of us particular gifts, and you are to use those gifts to edify and encourage and build up the other members of the body of Christ. This is the way that we are strengthened as the church of Jesus Christ, using those gifts, using those abilities to honor the Lord by strengthening the church, using that particular gift in someone else's life and that person using their gifts in your life as well. And this is how the church is built up and strengthened in service of the Lord. This is the ministry of the church. We often talk about the minister. It's your ministry. It's my ministry. No, it's our ministry. I have an aspect in the ministry of Hope Reformed Church, but this is our ministry as the church, as the people of God. The giving is done as a congregation. Notice that in our worship service, the singing is done as a togetherness, a people. This is how we hear the word. This is how we pray. This is how we confess. We do it together. The walk is not solo. It's not individual. It's a together walk. The Lord brings us out from the desert and the wilderness, as it were, and brings us into his household of faith as the children of the living God. And so we are to be a people then that minister and care for and share and provide and encourage one another. Those are the one another's that we find in the New Testament. There's a multiple number of one another's to forgive one another, encourage one another, provide for one another, sing to one another, be of one mind. This is the togetherness of the walk. Confess with one another. This is the church. It's not good that man should be alone. This is what we find right from the garden and when the Lord creates the man. It's not good for man to be alone. You see, we have this delusion of independence that we think, well, I don't need anybody else. No, we are dependent on other people. Proximately and ultimately, we are dependent upon the Lord for the very breath that we breathe. Now, if you do a survey of Scripture, and you'll notice how people always had people. God saved his church, his sheep. Not one, but more than man could number from all the different tribes, tongues, and nations of the world. Adam was given, he was created by God, and then he was given Eve. Eve was given to Adam because it wasn't good that he should be alone. So God made a helper suitable for him, like him. Ish and Isha are the Hebrew terms. She is the female likeness of the male. And so we think about Abraham. Abraham had Lot when he went to the land of Chaldea, out of Ur of the Chaldeans and into the promised land of the Lord. He had Lot that went with him. Noah had his family. His sons help him to build the ark. We think of David. David had Jonathan that was with him. Jesus had his inner circle of disciples. He had Peter, James, and John. He had the 12, but he had that inner circle as well, who were extremely close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find this with the people of God. So it is with the Apostle Paul. Paul had Titus, he had Timothy, he had Luke, he had Barnabas, he had Silas, he had Tychicus, he had Trophimus, he had others that came alongside that helped him in ministry. You see how important it is? You have friends. You have circles of friends. Now, I like to think of it like a dartboard. You think about a dartboard and you see the bullseye and you have some friends that are in that inner circle. So people that you will tell anything to, knowing that they will hold the things in confidence. And then it expands out. And it keeps on going out till it's just people that you're, you know, acquainted with. They may be strangers to you, but you kind of know who that person is. But you're not going to tell them the things that you tell the inner circle. Jesus does the same thing. He tells Peter, James, and John things that he doesn't tell the other nine. So it is, we are like that as well. And it's necessary. It's important to have friendship. It's not good for us to be separated from one another. It's good to be in union with one another and speak to one another and confide with one another and to trust one another and have confidence in each other. These are things that are learned and are gained as time goes on, even as we see with the Apostle Paul when he speaks about Tychicus. He was proven as a man who was faithful and worthy in the service. And so he makes mention of him. He makes mention of a number of people here in this closing portion of this epistle. But notice the example that is given to us, beloved, of how important friendship is. Close friendship. Faithful friendship. Friendship that you can confide in. You can trust that it's proven itself. It has a good track record. Well, let me ask you this simple question. Do you know anybody within your circle of friends that you could tell something of privacy to and you would have implicit confidence that they would never repeat that matter? Do you have anybody like that? Now, don't tell me your wife or your husband, because they repeat things they ought not to repeat. And they do so with their girlfriends or their guy friends. I'm talking about having that trusted comrade, that person that you can speak things to that are deepest to your heart with the confidence that it's not going to be spread all about town. You see, those are few and far between, aren't they? And it's difficult because there's a track record. They're proven. When you say something and it's not repeated and nobody else ever says anything to you again, that's proven that you can trust that person. And you say something to them and they say, I didn't even remember that. I pushed that away. You told me not to ever say anything. So I pushed that away from thinking about it. So it's not something that's right there all the time. It's important to have these types of friendships. And yet they're so rare in our day and age. And I think for me, you know this, it's systemically, it always goes back to the same thing. It always goes back to the Word of God. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are filled with the Word. These are synonyms. When the Holy Spirit is controlling your mind, He does so through His Word. And so you replace certain thoughts, certain patterns of thinking with those that are given in God's Word. You're thinking God's thoughts after Him by meditating upon the Word, memorizing the Word, filling your mind with the truth. We are sanctified. We are conformed to the image of Christ. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are more and more shaped and fashioned into the image of Jesus Christ, beholding Him in His Word. And when that happens, you become more and more apt to control your tongue. Now, you parents say the same thing to your kids, don't you? Control yourself. Kids will be at the candy dish. Control yourself. You don't need 50 of those candies in your pocket. Go put them back. Right? That's what we say. And then we as the parents, can't hold your mouth. The Word does that control. That's how the Holy Spirit controls. And that's when people say, oh, I shouldn't say this. But they say it anyway. Look, if your conscience is telling you that you shouldn't say it, you shouldn't even say, I shouldn't say it. You should recognize before it spills out of your mouth, over the tongue, through the teeth, out into everybody's ears, like feathers that once it's shot out there, you can't get it back. You never see a bird trying to put a feather back in, do you? No, the wind blows them away. It's a story, isn't it? It's a man who gossiped about somebody else in town. So he went to his pastor. What should I do? He said, take a feather and put it on every porch of the person that you gossiped about. This person. So he got a feather pillow. He pulled the feathers out. He went and put it on every porch. Came back to the pastor. Okay, I've got it done. Now what do I do? Now he said, go back and pick up all the feathers that you put on those porches. Well, that's impossible. The wind has blown them away. So with your words. Once you shoot them out, you can't get them back. Life and death is in the tongue. Spirit of God through the Word of God brings control to the mind. Your problem isn't your tongue. Your problem is your heart. You say what you say because you think what you think. My problem in my words is the problem of my heart. Now what can change my heart? What can transform the way that I am as an individual, as one created as the image bearer of God, but more and more progressively becoming conformed to the image of Christ, true righteousness, true holiness, and true knowledge. The Spirit of God through the Word of God. That is the only means given. And that's what the church neglects. So it is any wonder that the lack of control of the tongue continues to go on if we're not in the Word of Christ. We say things, I just got to get it off this my chest. Oh, I feel better if I dump on you. Hard to have good friends when that's the community that we live in, isn't it? I'm not talking about the city. I'm just talking about communities of people. Nobody can be quiet. Everything has to make headline news. For what reason? Is it profitable? You should be asking yourself these questions. Is it true? Is it right? Is it profitable? Is it glorifying to God? Do I need to say this? How about if I just shut up on this one? I don't need to contribute. I don't need to say anything on that. Whoever does that, that's just evidence of a people whose mind is not controlled by the Spirit, the Word, and therefore we let things fly. We let the arrow fly. We let the feathers fly. And then we can't get them back. And then we grieve. And then we wonder why people distrust us. You wonder why people, you don't talk. You know, people have moved into circles of friendship with me and have moved out of those circles too. I've pushed them out because they can't be trusted. And I would never tell them anything of importance ever again because they're not trustworthy. This is not what we find with the Apostle Paul. He has those that are trustworthy. He speaks of, just in this short text, Tychicus and Onesimus. And he calls them both beloved brothers and faithful in the Lord. So Tychicus is the first one he mentions. And again, these are the faithful friends in ministry with Paul. And notice that ministry is never done by yourself. We are doing ministry together. Ministry is a together work. It is a service. That's what ministry is. It's servanthood. We are serving when we're ministering. If you think being a minister is setting up on a pedestal and everybody groveling at your feet, you don't have a biblical understanding of ministry. Ministry is servanthood. Ministry is foot washing. Ministry is doing menial tasks. Ministry is seeing others better than yourself. Ministering is saying, there is nobody that I won't minister to, that I won't serve. We don't live in a community like that, do we? We live in a community that begins to judge and assess people about who they think is above them or below them, who we think should be serving us. And when you have the attitude that you are to serve all mankind, because all men are my neighbors, they're not all my brothers, but they're all my neighbors, and therefore I am to do unto them as I would have them do unto me, there is none that I would not serve. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. That's the Christian life. That's ministry. Servanthood. Because we're slaves of Christ. Tychicus, he understood this. Now, Paul trusted Tychicus. Paul at this point had been in prison about 4 years in Rome. Tychicus, who was from Colossae along with Onesimus and Philemon, Tychicus was one who was to deliver this particular letter to the church in Colossae. Now I want you to understand something of the difficulty of the delivering of this letter. He not only delivered this particular letter, but he also delivered the letter to the Ephesians and the letter to Philemon. Now Paul is in prison in Rome and he's penning these letters and he gives them to his beloved and faithful minister and friend Tychicus to deliver to the church both in Colossae, Ephesians, and to his friend Philemon. Now this is the catch. In Rome, he has to go to Colossae. It's about 1,300 miles from Rome to Colossae. That means Tychicus has to traverse Italy, probably walking most of the time. Then he comes to the Adriatic Sea and he has to get on a boat, a sailboat, a ship of some sort, sail across the Adriatic Sea and come to Greece. When he's there in Greece, he needs again to walk across Greece and come to the Aegean Sea until he can sail to Asia Minor to get to Colossae, which is about another 100 miles from the seacoast. Now, if we think about a plane leaving, in our day, Rome and flying to Colossae, which is modern day is a different name, but to fly that, it would take five and a half hours going 600 miles an hour. So you see the distance. This trusted man was given documents that were the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of the true and living God to carry to the church as a delivery. And he was so entrusted by the Apostle Paul. Paul so trusted him that he gave these to him to go through land and sea to deliver these letters to the church. And notice the hardship that would take place. It would take him weeks to get that far. That's what Paul thought of Tychicus. Now you parents know that there are certain articles that you have that you would never give to your kids to make sure that it got to a certain place, because you didn't trust them. You would only give those things to those who you trust. You would entrust them with this. Is there anything more worthy in this world than the Word of God? So Paul says about Tychicus, he is a beloved brother. Agape is the Greek word for the love of God, the love that God sheds abroad in our heart. And agapatos is the word that he uses. He uses a nominative, so it describes who Tychicus is. He's a beloved one. He is a thoroughly loved individual. He's loved by God. He's loved by Paul. He's loved by the church in Colossae. They love this guy. And they love him because of his proven character. He is a brother. To refer to him as Adolphos, as a brother, means he is one who is in Jesus Christ. He's one of the redeemed. Now, I don't make a habit of just calling anybody brother, because all men are not my brothers. The one who are my brothers are those who are the family of God, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, those that have been redeemed. Now, all men are my neighbors, but not all are my brothers. So Paul is saying that this man is redeemed. His character proves that he is one purchased by the Lord. The fruit of his life demonstrates it. And that's how we demonstrate, beloved. We demonstrate that we are beloved of the Lord as well, by how we live our lives, by the things that we say, the things that we do. We let our yes be yes and our no, no. We say what we mean and we mean what we say. If you don't mean it, don't say it. If you're not going to do it, don't say it. If you want to help somebody, because they're in need of help. And you say things to this nature, if you need help, call on me. And then you call, they call on you, and well, I didn't expect you to call on me. Why'd you say it then? Was it for show? Was it so other people around you would hear it and say, wow, what a godly person that is. Boy, they're willing to serve in any place. But it wasn't meant. It wasn't heartfelt. It was superficial. It was surfacey. It was a show. Don't do that, beloved. If you can't do it, just say no. But don't say that you're going to do it to put on a show, and then when you get called upon, then you say, oh, I can't do that. I don't remember saying that. I don't want to do that. I really didn't think you were going to call on me to do that. It's all superficial. This is not what you find with this beloved brother. He was thoroughly loved, and he was a faithful minister. Faithful, pistos, trustworthy. He handled the word of God accurately. He was faithful with the word, faithful to teach the word, faithful to bring the word, faithful to admonish with the word, to instruct with the word, to teach with the word, to rebuke with the word. He was a faithful handler of God's word. He brought the people of God what they needed. And what did they need? They needed the truth. He was striving to live in accordance with the word of truth. He's not a perfect man. He's not sinless. But he is faithful. He demonstrates his faithfulness. It doesn't speak of him as being sinless, but one who is faithful and diligent to carry out what he says. To be faithful to let his yes be yes and his no, no. To that he's a minister, is the Greek term diakonos, which means servant. He is a servant in the church. He is a servant of Christ for the church. I don't know where this misnomer came of the minister being way up here and everybody else being way down here. Now, I don't want to slander anybody, but you know, my reading is it's come from Dutch circles where the minister is referred to as the domine, the one who is the head honcho. We don't have a pope, but if we did, it would be the domine. That's not what a minister is. A minister is a servant. And the servant is that which is the menial task. You know, when you're at vacation Bible school and one of the kids says, so-and-so has plugged up the toilet. Crappy job. But it's got to be done. And so you do it. It's not something that you would choose to do, but you're a servant. What is it a servant won't do? Do you pick up things on the floor? I know some of you don't. Because I've been in the bathroom and I've seen where people have thrown the trash on the floor because it missed the wastebasket and it just laid there. And then a bunch of others, and nobody picks it up except, well, we got a janitor for that. No, that's us. That's what the Lord has brought to you at that moment. Clean it up. Make this place better for you have been there. Make it better than when you leave. You left and it's better than when you first got there. That's a servant. Well, that's not my job. Oh, yeah, it is. Because you're a servant. And as Paul has already said in Colossians 3, you serve the Lord Christ. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, you serve the Lord Christ. And Christ came to serve mankind, and therefore, as those being conformed in his image, we serve mankind. The menial tasks of life, the things nobody else wants to do, we are to do. And this is a demonstration that we're followers of Christ. This is what Paul says with regards to Tychicus. Faithful minister. Faithful servant. He is a fellow servant. Now, he uses a different word here. A fellow servant. Soon doulos is the word that he uses. Doulos is slave. What Paul is saying is that Tychicus is a fellow slave in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, do you see yourself that way? There's the truth of the matter. When we came into this world, we were slaves of Satan and sin. And we were going our own way on the broad path that leads to destruction. That's who we were. Christ rescued us. He purchased us with His blood and brought us onto the narrow road that leads to life. He's transferred us from darkness and death to light and life in Christ. Now we are slaves of Christ, purchased by Christ. But this is where true freedom is in Christ. You once were slaves of sin, but no more. Now you are a slave of righteousness. We belong not to ourselves, but to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you live that way? I mean, be honest. Do you live that way? Okay, so let's confess. Lord, forgive us. We live most of the time as if we're our own. But we've been bought with a price. Make me, teach me, cause me, instruct me, lead me, provide for me to know that I'm a servant, a slave of Christ to do His bidding no matter where I'm at. This is what you find in the life of Tychicus. He's in the Lord. To be in the Lord is one who is in union with Christ. He is a true branch into the vine, Jesus Christ. And because he's a true branch in the vine, Christ, the life of the vine flows through that branch and he produces good fruits, and that is seen as a beloved brother and a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. Don't you want that on your headstone? Faithful individual. He was faithful. You say, I want nothing on my headstone. I don't even care if my name's on there. Doesn't matter. But then somebody says, let's put this. It doesn't make mention that Tychicus is a pastor of a church. He's a servant in the church for the glory of Christ. And so Tychicus is sent, and he's sent to deliver these letters, and he's also sent to the Colossians to tell them the news about Paul, right? And that's why he says, and I am sending him to you for this very purpose. So they get the letter, they read the letter, and they see that Tychicus was sent by the Apostle Paul so that he could bring the news of Paul to the church. That's simply the administration of words that tells about the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, what he's doing, where he's at, what has happened to him, what he needs while he's there in prison. And so the church provides for him in this way. So here is Tychicus, a faithful man, to tell the news, to tell what was important to tell. And there are things, beloved, that are important to tell. And many times I think that things need to be said so that it keeps people from gossiping. Because many times when people assume, I don't know, nothing was said, but I assume this, I think this, and you can be totally wrong, and you start spreading that news to other people. And you're so far off base, you're sinning. You're sinning by everything that you say, and you think you're doing it inadvertently, but you're gossiping, you are slandering about saying things you know nothing about, and spreading things, and causing other people to sin because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. That's why it's good to speak certain things that need to be said. Look, this is not a matter of gossip, but this is a situation. So I have practice. Give as much information as you can. Things that you can't say, you can't say. But give as much information as you can. So that curbs the gossip, because you know the truth of the matter. And when somebody says, well, I don't know why, but I think, no, well, you're wrong, because this is what was said. This is what's going on here. Tychicus is telling them exactly what happened to Paul. And Paul sent him for this purpose. That's a love for the congregation, isn't it? It's a love as people would be praying for Paul, as people would be concerned about the Apostle Paul, never even having met the Apostle Paul in person. And here they are, they're praying for him, and they're wondering, and they're concerned about him, and Paul has reciprocal concern. He's telling them because of his love for them. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to tell people, to confide with people, to tell people about things that you're struggling with, you're dealing with. So that as people of God, we can pray for one another. That's not a matter to be spread all over the place, but it's a matter to take up to the Lord. This is what Paul is counting on, that they would be a praying church for them. And so he says, "For this purpose I'm sending him to you, that he may know your circumstances and then comfort your hearts." So in this delivery of what Paul is saying, there was a comfort, parakaleo, a calling alongside of these people to comfort them with the truth. Beloved, the truth always comforts. We are truth speakers. Christ is the truth. God's word is truth. We're sanctified by the truth. The truth sets us free. We are to be truth tellers, truth speakers. We are to speak the truth in love. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes speaking the truth will get you in trouble. But we're nevertheless to speak the truth. We are not to compromise the truth. We're to be faithful in handling accurately the truth of God's word. Truth comforts. So, lastly, Paul says, "And with Onesimus." You know Onesimus? He's the runaway slave. He was the one who belonged to Philemon and left and ran away from the situation that he was in with Philemon and then came to the Apostle Paul. He didn't know what was going on. The Apostle Paul found him in Rome and then brought the gospel to him. And clearly Onesimus believed the gospel, and Paul says about him, and he is a faithful and beloved brother. He goes back to Philemon, and he goes back not simply as a slave, but as a brother. That changes the whole relationships. I give you a funny story. I had a deposition once, and two attorneys, and this one attorney was deposing me, asking me these questions. And she was pretty hard-nosed through the whole thing. I was short, trite with my answers, and that really bothered her, and she got angry, and I just kept the same thing, just over and over the same thing. And we had a break, and Maria was there, and Ashley was there, and this attorney saw them and asked, "Is that your wife and your daughter?" And I said, "Yes." And we started talking, and in the conversation, she was asking, you know, "Where do you live?" And I said, "Well, this is where we go to church." And she said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Are you? Because you sure didn't act like it in there." She says, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." And we went into the conference room and we sat and we dialogued about the things of Christ for about 10 minutes. And my lawyer came in, sat down, and was looking like with this real dumb, confused look on his face saying, What's going on here?" And then so we got ready and we started in. That changed the whole dynamic. That lady couldn't even look at me without smiling and laughing. And my lawyer afterwards, he said, "I never seen anything like that." This is two believers, the spirit of truth, and knowing of what we believed and that we belong to the Lord changed the way that we viewed one another. And even in that professional atmosphere, it wasn't the way that it was in the beginning. This is what Paul is referring to with Onesimus. Philemon couldn't see Onesimus as he did before. Believers see believers in a different way. Why? The same spirit dwells within us. And there is great compassion. He was faithful. He was beloved. And Paul says, he's one of you. He's a Colossian. And he's also a believer. They will make known to you all things that are happening to me. Paul entrusts these men to bring the truth. He entrusts them with the word of truth. He entrusts them with the epistles. He gives great commendation for them. He loved them. He says, they are a great comfort to me. Believers are great comforts to other believers. We need one another, beloved. We need one another. That's the short end of saying, we need one another. We're a body. We are to encourage. We are to comfort. We are to support. We are to serve. We are to edify. We are to strengthen. We are to protect. We are to guard. We are to be about one another as the people of God, as the body of Christ. Use this example. Let it be said of you, you're a faithful brother, a faithful sister, a faithful servant in the church. That there is nobody that this person wouldn't serve. They would serve anybody. They're not looking at social status. They're not looking at the color of somebody's skin. They don't even look at the age group. They have a passion to emulate Christ who came to serve and not be served. Let that be said of us. Let us have those strong relationships of trust with one another so that we can say things without them being spread all over. We can have confidence and trust so that when important things need to happen, we can entrust to one another. Just like you see with here. Paul's personal life entrusted to Tychicus and to Onesimus to deliver it to the church. Not to fabricate, not to blow it up, not to depreciate it, but to speak truth and fact of what is going on in the Apostle Paul's life. So we pray, so we give, so we serve. That's us, and that's what we are called to as those who are beloved of the Lord in Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we pray?